Chapter 2 Tim's train was 40 minutes late, which meant that he was not home until well after 9 o'clock.
Sorry.
He shook his raincoat off at the front door and put his wet boots on a wadge of newspaper.
Okay, but there's only so long you can keep liver and bacon before it curls at the edges and goes leathery.
He went into the kitchen, where Aide was putting plates into the warming oven.
Bloody railways!
Tim gave him a hug and went to the wine cooler.
No, Aide said. I've opened a bottle of red. It's ready.
What can I do, then?
Sit down. How was the day?
Good, actually. Boring in parts. The paper about... Well, you don't want to know just before eating, but it went on and on and bloody on. And if that's how the guy teaches med students, he's putting them off for life. The charisma of a mollusk. But Tiedemann's was brilliant. Worth going just for him. This looks amazing.
Just the usual, but thankfully not charred to a cinder. Cheers.
Many there?
The lecture theatre was packed and people were standing. All to hear Tiedemann's, of course. If you knew half of what he had done in his lifetime, makes you humble.
You've no need to be humble. You've pioneered procedures. You've transformed the surgical aspect.
Tim spooned cream potato onto his plate, shaking his head.
I'm not putting myself down. I'm proud of what I do and have done, and I've got lucky once or twice. But besides Tiedemann's, he's a god, Aide. Making me jealous.
Tim's sudden loud laugh made Aide wince, as always.
Remind me to show you his photo in the conference brochure. This mash is great. What about you today?
Bloody models. The girls were great, but the boys... He made a two-fingered gesture. It was only a mid-level fashion mag. I mean, not Vogue or anything. God knows why they wanted me. But that's fine. I'm cool with that, so long as they pay my going rate. I'm not cool with boys who act like they're Naomi Campbell, only more so. And it was pissing down. But done and dusted. And I'm going to Tanzania on Wednesday.
Fashion again?
Aide shook his head. Travel. Up country. Wild animals. Make a change from mad models. Been too much of that lately.
I can't remember if you've been before.
Not Tanzania. Botswana. But Africa's Africa and I love it.
He smiled across the table and reached out for Tim's hand.
Wish you could come.
I know. Hell of a week, though. One day at a conference, and my list has been set back too much, though Max is fine, nearly as good a surgeon as me now. Anyway, I don't regret the day. Just to hear Tiedemann's, I got you.
How long are you going to Tanzania for?
The doorbell rang before Aide could reply. They lived in what had once been a farmhouse on the outskirts of Lafferton. The address was up Starley, but the house was almost a mile away from the village, with a view over meadows to the river and a garden, Tim's province, which they had extended by buying another acre when the farm next door had come up for sale. The house was everything Tim had ever wanted or dreamed of. A boy from a Birmingham terrace without a blade of grass or a green tree to be seen, who had fallen in love with the country when he had been fostered, for the fifth or sixth time, by a couple who had lived on a farm. They had been efficient, brisk, kind enough, but never loving. They had taught him to work hard and to be polite and thoughtful. He had liked them, even become fond of them, but had fallen in love with the farm. The land and the animals, the whole way of life. He had also been clever, and they had not only encouraged, but pushed him to do well.
You don't want to get stuck like us. It's what we are, what we do. But you can do better for yourself, Timothy. You owe it to take every chance sent your way.
Owe it to whom? Them? The parents he had barely met? The other foster families, the social workers. But in the end, he had understood that they meant he owed it to himself. He had gone to medical school and left the farm, and the Knowles had died within a year of one another not long after, so that the nearest he had known to home was gone. He had been...